How many of you lock in on some old-time sayings? All the old people lock in on old-time sayings. I mean, I enjoyed all the things that Grandpa Blackburn used to say, some of the crazy things that he would do. But they were truisms. You know, they're kind of like proverbs. They are true. They're statements that you say. You know, things for men, it's like a spray paint doesn't fix rust. Now, if you have any idea what I'm talking about, then you've tried spray paint over rust. And rust always comes back. I don't care what you do. You don't cut it out, doesn't it? A Band-Aid will not fix a tumor. Okay? That's another man thing. You know, men will ignore it, and they'll go put a Band-Aid on it, and everything will be fine. Well, it's not fine. Go to a doctor, get it taken care of. But men are norm, you know, we just do that. And one of my favorite, because I am really big on cleaning vehicles. You can wax the hood all day, but that doesn't fix the knock in the engine. Nor will it fix the transmission when it goes out. I had a very clean truck, but when you lose a transmission, it costs a bunch of money to get done. You see, the problem that we have is on the inside. It's an inside. But why are we always looking to the outside to get the answer? Why do we think we're going to find something? If you got a problem on the inside, you need to go inside. That's what you need to do. You need to look inside. Years ago, I was working, as you know I like to do, but I was working at a friend's house. And I show up early in the morning. It was about one of those summer mornings, you know, spring into summer. And now you could be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. There'd be daylight. I didn't show up at dark. Not in that neighborhood. You might as well get shot. But I show up at the house, and I go up. Of course, I have a key to the house. I know the alarm code. I know everything. The homeowner was not supposed to be there. My friend was supposed to be gone. So I unlock the door, and all of a sudden, the alarm goes off. When I go in there, punch out the numbers, everything shuts down. I walk straight through the house, right out the back, to the garage, get my tools, start up to the front, get all the way to the front, set the tools down. What I'm doing, I'm replacing a front door. That's a very, very big door, a very nice thing. And I'm over there just getting everything set up. I got my tools out of my truck, and it's in the front, and I'm doing all this stuff. About that time, Waco PD shows up. But I liked the guy. You know, he was a halfway intelligent policeman. I've had a few that I didn't think were that intelligent because they were giving me a ticket. Yeah, the problem was on the outside. I was not doing anything wrong. Never mind. Okay. Anyway, so he comes walking up the sidewalk and he goes, "Well, it's kind of obvious that you're not stealing anything. I'm fixing the door. I got to replace all the trim and all the stuff around this door." And about that time, out walks my friend with a towel around himself, wet, coming out of the shower, wanting to know why the police are here. And I'm going, "I didn't know you were here. I didn't know that the alarm was instant on. The moment the door opens, it goes off. I didn't know that it went to the police." But there I am. I'm standing there. I'm embarrassed, you know, but I'm not stealing anything. I'm fixing something. Have you ever been there? Ever done something crazy like that, like break into the wrong car? Ask somebody like Betty that has a used to have a Continental that looked just like our Continental. And my wife going over there trying to hit the button. It wasn't open. Then she's trying the key. And I walk out and I go, "Excuse me, that's the wrong car." I'm glad it was Betty, you know. So it was okay on that kind of stuff right there. You see, you can't fix an inside problem with something on the outside. It just never works out that way. You know, I was really at first when I see this cop walking up, walking up the sidewalk, I'm thinking, "Well, what nosy neighbor called the cops?" I mean, I can't believe it. My truck's over here all the time. I've been working on a house forever. I just couldn't believe it. Now, I'm sure I'm the only one that would blame something else. You've never done that, have you? You have? No. You have it. Okay. We'll have a lesson on lying here pretty soon then. You know, I, all the time, for some reason, we have a tendency to blame the outside source. You know, it's somebody else that caused all these things. We have alarms in our lives. And I'm not talking about your car alarm. I'm not talking about your house alarm. We have alarms within us that go off, and they sound. What do you do with those? What do you do when the alarm goes off within you? Do you ignore it? You know, when years ago, and that hadn't happened in the last few centuries, I'm sure, but some of the older cars, you know, if you had an older car back in that day, you remember the little lights on the dashboard? You know, we didn't have those sophisticated things. They just, a little light came on. If you're low on oil, the light came on, so you're low on oil. And what did we call those little lights? We called them idiot lights. Hello, idiot. Put some oil in me. How many of you got idiot lights still on your dashboard? I'm not talking about your car. You know, it's really true. Sometimes we just really, you know, that's another old saying, stupid can't fix stupid. John taught me that. He told me that thing last night. I'm not talking about your house, I'm not talking about your car, I'm not talking about any of those kind of things. But sometimes lights go off. Sometimes alarms sound. How about an alarm like credit card debt? Be very quiet. Uncontrolled spending. Has your idiot light come on yet? I mean, and I'm talking about uncontrolled. I mean, the light's flashing. Are you continuing on and ignoring the fact that there is an issue here? Forget about spending. How about relationships? Got any icy relationships? Why would you have that? Maybe it's because you're not paying attention. You know, it's usually, I've sat in counseling sessions over and over through the years, and men complaining about their wives about this, they don't do this, they don't do that. And I said, well, you're just talking about yourself because you've neglected them. You've neglected to say what you should have said. And maybe it's even come to the point of abuse. You see, there are alarms in everybody's lives. And God brings those alarms and He gave it to us. Scripture passage this morning comes out of the Psalms. Now, David was really good at this because David had a lot of alarms that went off through his life. I mean, you become a king at 14, guess what happens? You're going to live a long time and you're going to have a lot of issues that take place. But in the 51st Psalm, there's a little verse there in the 10th verse. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And do what else? Restore within me a right spirit. Did you write that down? Create in me. He didn't say, fix my wife. He didn't say, take care of the policeman over there, or that nosy neighbor. He didn't say anything. He said, create in me a clean heart. Oh, restore something in my life. What I need in my life. What I need in my life is something that is within that needs to be restored. A right spirit. You know, we get bent out of shape. We find fault with everything. We fuss about this. We can't change it. You know, and people get tired of hearing you fuss about it. Okay? And so they begin fussing about it. And then you get tired of hearing what they have to say about it. Let's just be honest with ourselves. The lights are flashing. The alarms are going off. And are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to what God said He will do in our lives? Lord, create in me a clean heart. Man, I need this. Every one of us needs this. Why do we want to walk around and with, you know, kind of a soiled relationship with God? Why do we think we're just going to keep on going, blame somebody else? The solution is not outside. It's not in Washington. Even though I like to see little things happen in Washington right now. You ever blame Washington? Well, of course we do. We blame Washington for high prices. We blame them for the gas. And rightfully so in some things. How many of you blame your family for your problems? Well, I grew up that way. They taught me this. Well, how old are you now? Well, I'm only 55. Get over it. I mean, I hear it. I hear it. You hear it. The problem and the blame is not God. And how many times do we say, well, God brought this and he allowed this and he did this. It's not God. It's not the church. I mean, the church has a lot of blame, okay? We deserve a lot of blame in the church. You know, we drop the ball. We don't do what we're supposed to do. But when it comes right down to us, it's one simple thing. You. Me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, help me. I need a clean heart. I need a clean heart all the time. I need you to restore within me. Get me back to where I once was. In fact, forget about where I once was. Get me past that to something that's even better. Do something inside of me. Okay. You know I like to play golf. Yeah, really? Okay. I love to play golf. And but one of the things about playing golf is that sometimes you get somebody put in your group. Let's put it that way. I was out of state one time, and I was in a group and a couple friends, but they brought on somebody. You know, you didn't have enough people. They wanted to fill the box. So they said, this gentleman would like to play with you. Now, I'm always a little leery. I'm sorry. It's pride. I know. It's whatever it is. But you always know when the guy gets up there and he takes his form, he's on the first tee box. He does this number. The dude can't hit anything. I mean, when they start shaking the backside, you know you're in trouble. I mean, either he's going to hit it 350 yards or he's going to hit it about 2 feet. And probably the first one is never in his place unless he's playing at the airport and he's going down a runway. I'm in that group. This guy gets up, he shakes it and bakes it, but it doesn't do anything. 3 swings. Another swing. Man, I'm telling you, I'm starting to put a jacket on. It's getting cold with all these swings. The 3rd swing, he's still whiff. I mean, absolutely, positively, it was a whiff. He's frustrated. I'm more frustrated. He's embarrassed. I'm extremely embarrassed. I want to say I'm embarrassed for him, but I'm really embarrassed. I'm standing here watching this whole thing. But he said something that blew me out of the water. And I I thought to myself, how did this guy come up with this? He turned around and to a whole group, he said, man, this is a tough course. You see, where's the problem? You know, I'm going, okay. You know, Terrence brought this up this morning, and then he's gone right now, and that's why I can talk about him while he's gone. No, not really. Heather's had a really rough week. But your circumstances may be hard, but the problem's not on the outside. How do you face those things? How do you face those hard times? How do you face it without saying to God, create in me a clean heart? Help my attitude. Restore a right spirit within me. I mean, or would you simply say, well, it'll just go away? It won't. Well, let's just neglect that. I mean, you know, who needs that kind of deal? I don't need that kind of deal. Or do you blame somebody else? I think the term was me. Create in me a clean heart. But you say, well, that was just Old Testament stuff. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to us in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And if you just take a little bit of the second verse out of that, he makes this statement, be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Get your attitude. Get a right spirit. You'll see your issues that you have in life. You see, that's real change. Because change is from the inside out. It's not the other way around, people. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, if you really want change, it's an inside job. It's something that must take inside. I mean, you know, you can point your finger all the time at something else, some of the, you know, point it out, make it be something else. You can deflect everything, and we're really good at that today. We've learned that, you know, Saturday Night Live has taught all that kind of stuff. You can deflect anything you want to. You can become a president if you want to deflect some more. I said that, didn't I? Sometimes I shouldn't say everything I think. But the biggest problem, our biggest problem, me. It's not something else. It's simply me. And what is that? Sin. Let's just call it what it is. You know, we can sugarcoat it. We can do whatever you want to with it. But in reality of it, it's just sin. The president is not the answer. I'm sorry. Would I like to see somebody? Yeah, I'd like to see somebody else. But the same old answer only answers the same old problems. How about the new things that are coming into your life? How about the things that you're facing now that you never faced before? How does that get taken care of? Can I tell you? It's only one thing. God is the only one that can fix the problem. He's the only one. You've tried everything else. You've tried the miracle workers. You've gone all through all the stuff on TV, and you try to get this answer, try to get that answer. Society, our society, well, they can renovate things, but only God can recreate. And that's what we need. We need to restore a right spirit in our lives. We need to let the Holy Spirit have way in our hearts if we expect to ever change. If we expect life to get better, well, then we need to be changed. We need His presence. It's not about just going to church. It's not about, you can go to church and go to sleep. See it every Sunday. Or that kind of go, woohoo, woohoo, right over your balding head. And if you ain't bald yet, you will be, because it keeps going over and it'll pull all the roots out. Simple things. Three simple things this morning. And this, these won't take long, so you can stay awake long enough for this three simple things this morning. Number one, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? That's what the Word of God talks about. I'm going to flip back here. Psalm 32. It's a great psalm. David again. 32nd psalm. He begins there in verse number 3. I would read your first 1-2, but you can read that later, not now. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. I kept silent, and it got worse and worse, and it got louder and louder. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. What was David? Well, he was good. He was good at confessing when he did wrong. Did he do wrong? Yeah, he did wrong. Do you do wrong? Do I do wrong? Yes. Do you confess, or do you just let it slide? Oh, God understands. Well, yeah, he does understand. The idiot light's on brightly, but you're not paying attention. This is what God is saying to us. It's called confession. What do you call confession? I call confession telling God something that he already saw you do. That's what I call confession. You know, he sees everything. He knows everything. God really doesn't need to hear it. What do we need? We just need to say it. Do you understand that? God does not need to hear it as much as I need to say it. How do I know God forgives? Because he said he would. Well, what happens if I never say it? You ever think about that? What happens if you let something just continue on all the time, and you ignore it and you neglect it and you turn your back on it? Well, you know how forgiveness is. Well, that kind of forgiveness, well, forgiveness of something that's too large. Oh, it's just too small. Can I tell you something about forgiveness? If it's too large or too small, that's not your problem. That's God's problem. And last time I looked, God can handle it. All you need to do is confess it. All I need to do is say, Lord, I am sorry for what I did. I am sorry for the things I said or something I thought or some action that I took. I need to practice what David said. Lord, restore a right spirit within me. Now, I don't know about you, but some people are better by nature than they are by grace. That was another old saying that I used to hear from my grandfather. And it was true. You know, some people have a good disposition. Some get saved and they're still cranky. And they get older and they get crotchety. And then what do you need to do? I think God needs to take them out and smack them around a little bit. Well, either that or the preacher does it and then it doesn't do any good. So we just got to forget about that kind of stuff. What do you need to do? Simple exercise. Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? If there is, it will eat you alive until you confess it. What do you think the Holy Spirit's saying? He's saying to you over and over, as he does to me, get it right. You know, I don't want any amens from my family. But I can get it lit up. I can heat it up, but I can shut it down really quick. Because there's something about that spirit that speaks. And what do I see? The idiot light's on really bright. And it's saying, do you realize what you just did? So do I have unconfessed sin? Got to get that taken care of. Second one. How about something that's unresolved in your life? You know, when you say about unresolved, there's only one negative because there's nothing positive in that. Unresolved means there's a conflict. You got anything unresolved in your life that we would just have to say it's a conflict? Well, it's getting quiet. It's already quiet. Jesus always had something great to say. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. You were there in chapter 6 earlier. But in chapter 5, Jesus points this out in the 23rd verse. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift unto the altar, and there you remember that you got something against your brother, what do you do with that? Oh, you just forget it. Tell him to get over it. No, he says, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way first. Number one, be reconciled unto your brother. Be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Why would that be? Well, I know one thing. God doesn't look on sin. Does he want something when you've got an issue that he has pointed out through his Holy Spirit? Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is so wondrous and he's so on top of everything? He says it to you right now there's an issue, deal with that issue. I'll give you the strength to get past it. If it takes you humbling yourself, I will help you. I will go before you. Well, I can't speak to them. You know how they'll be. No, I don't know how they'll be. All I can see is how you are. All I can see is how I would respond. And maybe the grace of God is so great upon that person that they would take whatever you have to say. That is an unresolved conflict. And maybe you just need to go to, maybe they're a better Christian. Maybe they'd let the Spirit of God rule in their lives a whole lot better. You ever stop to think about that? That conflict is only going to be satisfied by taking it to God. And so don't come over there and be real super spiritual and bring your gift and do all these great things if you know there's something in your life that needs to be dealt with. You know, when he makes that statement, he said, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way. This is the only time I'm going to let you out of church early. All right? That's the only excuse you get. You know, it's not about I left the popcorn burning or whatever. Unresolved conflicts have to be dealt with. And the Spirit of God is always, always putting his finger on those things in our lives. Now, whether we pay attention or not, well, that's just up to us. Do I want his blessing or do I just want to go on? I don't know about you, but I want his blessing. The third one is this. Is there any unsurrendered motives or worries in your heart? You ever think about that? Anything unsurrendered worries that might be going on in your heart? In 1 Peter, Peter would write in the 5th chapter, he says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he cares so much? He said, just cast it upon me. I can carry it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I can carry whatever you put out there. But do we put it out there? Or do we want to go along with the baggage and carry it all around with us all the time? You know, that's the big issue. Worry is a great word. And somebody gave me this. I didn't think of this because I can't speak German, but Haagen-Dazs man over here knows all these things. John Haagen-Dazs. Okay. Well, you're the one that came up with the German translation for me. Okay. What is worry in German? It means to strangle. Do you know that? It means to strangle. Isn't that what worries are doing to you? They're strangling you. They strangle you from being effective. They got their hands around your neck. I mean, they might as well just put a rope around your neck and get it over with. If you look at the Greek, it says, divide the mind. That's what this says in Greek. You're divided. Your mind, you are, as we read this morning, that Terrence gave, this is how the Spirit of God leads. He guides Terrence to whatever that he feels like we need to say, and it goes perfectly with what I'm talking about. You can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is not just money. Mammon could be anything, any idol. But that's the way worry is. Worry is that noose around your neck. It's a distraction to your mind. It's a division of your heart. God is one God. He's not multiples. He's not get there when you get there. My friends, alarms are going off all the time. Do we pay attention? Why do you think you have them? They serve a purpose. They serve a purpose. That's a signal. There's an issue. There's a problem in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is sounding the alarm. The enemy has come, or he's on his way. What are you going to do about it? Well, the problem's out there. No, the problem's in here. This is where the problem is. I don't know what's going on in your life today. I know what mine is. I know my issues, what they have. But I know this. The only answer is God. And I know he's pointing it out. If you're any way obedient unto the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will point it out to you. You say, well, this is not fair. I need this. I need that. What have you asked? Why do you not get it? Well, because you haven't asked. You haven't prayed believing that God will provide. And he said he would, but you didn't bother to ask him. What of everything that we read this morning talk about? It talks about making sure that our lives are where they need to be. Create in me a clean heart. Restore a right spirit within me. It's amazing when you feel good about life, when the joy of Christ is all over you, how life looks. It may be the same issue, maybe the same bum that causes problem every day, but you just look at it different. I'm going to give you one more thing. Before you peek outside through the blinds, look in the mirror. I know it's a scary proposition for some of us men. Just look in the mirror, because that's where the issue is. It's an inside job, people. It's not an outside job. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. You want to have it a different way than what it is? Look inside first. Get that satisfied, and then look at the issue again. Make sure everything is where it needs to be within. Just like I said, just like those little simple things that we talked about. Unconfessed sin, make sure that that's tended to. Unresolved conflicts, make sure that you got all those things tended to. I mean, that's a biggie. Make sure that that's where it needs to be. You get these things right, and the Spirit of God will flow as he always longs to do. And what does he do? He works out all the issues. He takes the problems. We're not going to get out of problems. They're coming our way. Okay? They will. I'm not telling you that you get this, everything's going to be fine. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you that these things are going to continue to bombard us. But praise God, he has the strength to follow, that he will indwell us, and we won't have these issues. Because his presence is what we need. Deal with unconfessed sin. Deal with your unresolved conflicts. Let God be God. And all the rest of it will work out. Because he's God. You're not the answer. He is. You're not the answer because you're just the problem. But I love it when he's in me. And I know when he's working. Those things don't bother. And I know when he's not working, because Jim gets bothered. Whatever's going on today, whatever God is showing you, it could be in any realm. It could be a normal life. It could be your spiritual walk. And most of the time, that's where it is. God said, I can make it right. I just need to have David's prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore a right spirit within me. Let's pray.